Hello guys, Dia Anak Muda. Welcome back to another episode of The Sambal Pod. Thank you so much for listening in. And this is actually our last episode. So no, we are not. It's not the last episode of TSP. But this is actually the last episode of one interesting project that we have done, which is STEM Hangat. So STEM Hangat is actually our first project in our first science podcast project, where we discovered and spoken to many local experts about interesting STEM careers based on thriving industries in Malaysia. So we try not to cover the cliche scientific careers that you may know, and we try to talk about, you know, all the non-cliche jobs which we have out there, so that you guys know that there's actually a lot of opportunities out there. Banyak sangat peluang untuk kita anak muda sebenarnya. And yeah, I hope to those who have been listening in, I hope you have been enjoying the conversations, and I hope that these conversations have brought a lot of new insights. So at least, you know, give y'all that moment to just pause for a bit and think about, you know, what you guys want to do with your lives and how you guys get to pursue your interest in STEM. Or for those yang memang tak minat science, you know, maybe this would be a new spark of interest in scientific fields. Maybe. So, yeah. This is actually the last episode, and we are going to be talking about the tech sector. So, previously, we had Miss Mariam, who spoke about tech policies, right? And how tech policy is generally a new field in Malaysia, and what she does as a policy practitioner. So this time, we have Associate Professor Prof. Bala, actually, from Universiti Pendidikan Sultan Idris. And what he did was to share his experience of how he actually switched from an engineering field to an education field by not only being an academician, but also having his research now focusing on tech integration, technology integration in education. So yeah, tech is always seen as this, you know, cool field, the in job, you know, we all want to go into tech now for the money, right? So I think it'll be very interesting to know about intersectional jobs, intersectional fields. And I hope that this conversation would be insightful to all of you guys. So yeah, enjoy. Out specific areas of growth in the tech job sector. So yes, Prof. Bala, the space is yours.
Yes, thank you very much, Nakshatra. So as you're actually asking me about listing the specific areas of growth in tech job sector, I think all of us know that it is actually AI is going to be dominant in our technology sector. So I think one big area and very paramount area that we should focus here is the artificial intelligence. So I would say the first one will be the AI. And as we are actually progressing, the development of the telecommunication is getting more and more nowadays. I think every single home will be connected with IoT, Internet of Things. So that will be another sector that we can actually look into. And for sure, it comes to the industry. We're going to have robotics and automation is one of part of the technology job sector that we're going to have. And as well, this one very important thing that we shouldn't forget, it is about the cyber security. Because as we all of us are actually using IT and IT platforms, I think cybersecurity is going to be another tech job sector that is going to be coming up in. I think it's already here, but it's going to actually growing. And it comes to the finance sector. We're going to have a lot of fintech, finance technology companies. So I think this particular job sector also, we can actually have a look into that. And when it comes for a digital education, when it comes to education, all of us are actually already moving towards more towards digital education. And I think one of the area that we can actually look into when it comes to this education sector will be the digital education. So it can comes with the games, based learning, personalized learning environment. All of these things will be what we call the coming or growing tech job sector for the future.
Okay, understood. Okay, so and then you also did explain a bit about fintech. So like fintech is, it's in between finance and tech. So for people who are interested to join in this kind of sector, what should they take in university? Should it be a technological course or should they go into finance? How is the the initial career path for them?
Yes, actually, they can learn as in a finance subjects and so on. But an additional to that, they can actually learn like a programming. They can learn some subjects related to finance technology, because as you can see, the what is going to happen in future, we going to have what we call the so-called cryptocurrency and so on, right?
Okay.
So yeah, so they have to know how to actually use the technology to the certain standard. So by just by having a knowledge on finance and business, it's not sufficient for them. So they also need to take up some technology courses as well to learn certain programming languages and understand how the technology works. So that is actually a combination between technology subjects and finance and business as well.
So, like the Malaysian government, for example, has recently launched the AI for Rakyat platform, which is a self-learning platform aimed for public awareness. And the interesting part about the platform, I've not actually looked into that platform in detail, Prof, but what I saw recently, which I found interesting, is that the platform is actually offered in four main languages. So it's offered in Bahasa Melayu, English, Tamil, and Mandarin. So that it's more accessible to all the Rakyat out there, which I find it pretty cool and pretty interesting. So you, okay, so talking about you, Prof, your work, you tend to work in the ethical side, the ethical use of how to use these technologies. So with the launch of this kind of platforms, how important would your work be in terms of ethical use of AI?
Thank you for asking this a very important question. As we are actually so much dwell and actually celebrating the development of AI, there's one aspect that actually that we need to actually really focus on how to use this particular AI ethically. In a simple meaning or a simple way of saying that is that I would say that how to use this AI responsibly. So as you can see here that this ethics in AI is actually very important, as our government already moving for developing ethical framework for AI, and even actually in Asian region, ASEAN region, we have actually a framework for ethical use of AI. I think in coming months, if I'm not mistaken, in maybe in a 1 or 2 months, Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, mostly, they actually will be launching the Code of Ethics framework for AI within this year, actually. So I think I can assume it will be 1 or 2 months, in the pipeline. So the framework will be expected to include the guidelines and regulation for the stakeholders across various sectors. So it is not going to be just look into the industry, but also for the normal users and so on. So how we can actually use AI responsibly. All right. So they're going to actually come with this particular kind of a framework. This is a very important thing, because this particular framework will give a practical guidance for for an individual or organization, or if the organization can be a government organization, industry, private sectors, and so on, that wish to design, develop, and use the AI technology. Coming back to my work, you know, looking at use of AI responsibly in the sector of education itself, I'm actually trying to build a framework that how the teachers, the educators, and also the learners should be using AI in a more efficient and at the same time responsible within the proper ethical guideline. So, because as you can see here that when we are actually using AI technology, there should be some kind of a caution on that. Because when it comes for academic learning, especially, AI should be used carefully where it should not be used for fundamental learning and understanding of a concept. That is a very important piece of information that I would like to mention to the audience.
I think this is going to be a topic that can be very debatable among students, because I'm also a student, and let's just be honest, a lot of us do find using AI something more easier. Okay, we do find that AI is something that tends to help us with our assignments and stuff. But you mentioned something very interesting just now, Prof. You said that AI should not be used for fundamental learning. It could be used to leverage what we have learned. So whatever, you know, the basics of whatever knowledge that we need to learn should be from our notes, you know, from our textbooks. Yeah, so it should be from things like that, not from AI. So maybe can you share a bit, why can we not get all that information just from AI directly? Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to be like, if AI can give the information, I might as well just get it from there. Why should I still read my notes?
Okay, why it is, I'm saying like that, because as you can see that there are a certain possibility that the information that is provided by this generative AI technology might not be accurate, all right? Might not be accurate. So in order to make to avoid this inaccuracy of information, so that is why you have to actually learn the fundamental knowledge, the basic information from the what we called a proper material. In an academic world, we called it a scholarly materials. All right?
Okay.
So you have to actually refer to a book, to a references, textbooks, to get that particular fundamental knowledge. So then you can actually get ChatGPT actually to help you in asking the questions related to the fundamental knowledge that you already gained from the scholarly material, all right? So that is what I'm trying to say here, all right?
Okay.
So I think that will be the most efficient way of using AI.
Technology. I mean, as much of the goodness there is, you know, there, I mean, obviously there's a lot of good things with technology. It definitely makes our lives easier. It makes humanity a bit more cooler, I guess. But from on the other side, a lot of people do tend to realize that we have a lot of dangers, right? So like what you mentioned just now, cybersecurity is one of the thriving job sectors that you should look into. That is because we have a lot of online scams and we have a lot of, you know, a lot of risk to having hackers, you know, hack our software, hack our data. We are in that kind of danger. We are facing dangers like that.
Yes, I think it is a very important concern, I would say, because all of us are actually scared of people are actually, some kind of a system is actually tracking us and so on, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, that is something that we cannot run away when we are in this technology world. Because as you can see, whenever the technology is actually developed, there will be a certain party that is very unethical people will trying to actually manipulate that particular technology for their self benefit. For example, they said you won a such like a 1 million jackpot, then we are actually so much happy and just click the link and we share all our banking information. So very importantly, there are a few things that I think for the anak muda really, really, really need to know. Please, please, please do not share your banking information. It can be your your IC number, your bank account number, your bank mobile online banking password, username. All right, all these things shouldn't be shared. It is only for you. All right, so please be careful on that. So I would say that do not share this kind of information to anyone. All right, your IC number, again, I would say to anak muda, because anak muda have to listen twice, all right, so that they are able to understand. So your IC number, your bank account number, your password, your username, all right, your even any kind of a references information that related to your banking shouldn't be shared to anyone. All right. So please be aware on this.
That is a bit about AI and education. So before we go in and talk more details about that, let's talk about your career part. So as we know, you are currently lecturing at University Pendikat Sultan Idris, and yes, you're a lecturer and you have been an academician for a while now, right? How long have you been here in this field?
Okay, it's actually it's going to be 24 years
Oh wow, okay.
in this higher education sector. So maybe I have to go back my journey where I started my journey in higher education
Yes, please.
sector. Actually, my journey started as a tutor in Multimedia University. After I obtained my bachelor degree in Electrical and Telecommunication Engineering from University of Technology Malaysia in year 2000. While I'm tutoring, I did my master's by research part-time in the same university. And later, when I got my master's, I promoted to be a lecturer in year 2006 in the same university, all right, in year 2006. Then after that, I was actually then I'm have to pursue my PhD in the same university, Multimedia University. Then after I finish my PhD in year 2011, but before that, in 2009, I already actually already moved to University Tunku Abdul Rahman as a
I
senior
see.
lecturer. Then obtained my PhD from Multimedia University in year 2011 while I'm working as well. So everything is my postgraduate study happened in a part-time base. All right. So while teaching and the same time I'm studying for my master's and also my PhD. Then later in year 2012, I shifted to University Pendidikan Sultan Idris as a senior lecturer. And promoted to associate professor in year 2017. So I'm here in the Faculty of Arts, Sustainability and Creative Industry in University Pendidikan Sultan Idris.
Well, has it always been your initial interest to be a lecturer or to just, to be in higher education?
Actually, it has become my passion, actually, because
Oh,
The passion is actually built when I started to teach my fellow friends when I'm doing my bachelor degree. Because whenever they have a doubt, they will come to me and ask some question, right? So when I'm able to give them the detail, teach them, just discuss with them how to answer these questions, the information that I share with them, quite majority of them said, hey, you are actually a good teacher. You're supposed to be a teacher, not an engineer. All right. So I was thinking, oh my God, maybe I chose a different profession. Then I realized that not necessary as an engineer, you will be end up as an engineer. You can actually become a engineering lecturer as well, right? So that is why I pursue in this particular career path.
So you've always been passionate to be a teacher.
Maybe because of the what we called as the talent, like a born leader, maybe I can consider as a born teacher.
Okay. That is interesting. I mean, the reason why I like to ask this question throughout the STEM Hangat series, Prof, and just to, I think I'm not sure whether I've mentioned this to you earlier, but this is actually the last episode of the series. So we had like 4 episodes before this, and this is like just a very short-term career series that we have to discuss about all the different industries in the STEM, you know, in STEM in Malaysia. So the reason why I like to ask this particular question about career paths to all our guests, you know, because we, anak muda, sometimes, you know, sometimes we go into a course because there might be many factors why we choose a certain course. Some of us do get our course of interest. Some of us do get courses just offered by UPU and we take it because we cannot afford to go to a private university, for example. Some of us just take courses suggested by our parents. So, like, there's a lot of situations why people take a certain course. And, I mean, and there's also a lot of cases where people go into a course of their interest, but they realize that it is not what they imagine it to be, right? They might have just gone into something and they're like, okay, I mean, I thought this would be something like this, but it is not what I imagined. So what am I going to do now? So I think it's always nice to understand how people share their career path, because we get a lot of interesting stories. We get stories about people transitioning to different fields, or even people like you, Prof, who went into it for a certain reason. You wanted to become an engineer and then end up becoming an educator while still being in that field. So yeah, I think it's always inspiring to know that, you know, you can always change.
My case, I have a student who's actually studied electrical telecommunication engineering, all right, from Multimedia University. But he is now is a film director.
Okay.
Okay. So the passion will be there. So I always asked him, okay, you are actually did so, you know, your engineering, you study your engineering so difficult, but you become a film director. How you connect these two things together? He said that the skills that he learned in while he was in, learning engineering, he can put that skills in his film directing. Because as you can see, the film directing usually is creative people. But when engineer become a film director, what happened is that the thinking process will be different because engineers will think logically, systematically. So it actually helped him a lot in film direction.
Feel free to tell the anak muda today how they should pursue this particular industry that you're in.
Okay, thank you very much. For the anak muda over there, it all starts with your dream, right? So start to imagine what you're going to be in the next 10 years, right? Where you are actually going to be. Then from there, you build up your capacity step by step. I know there will be a lot of obstacles, right? Especially when it comes to technology-related jobs, or in a nutshell, I would say STEM-related careers. What we can actually do is actually, as I already told you, the first will come with the passion just now, all right? The passion is very important. Without a passion, you are not able to do whatever that you want to do, all right? So what I will say to you all is that try to be passionate in whatever that you do. You learn many things at one time nowadays. And I know that is quite hard to do that as well. We also did that, all right? So during my generation, we also did that. And I think you all can do, all right? And what I always listen to my students is that they say there is no time. Okay, so please try to make sure that you have a good time management as well. All right, so that will be actually helpful for you. So for the young anak muda, because I like to actually divide the anak muda into two sectors here. Those anak muda in the school, all right, dream, all right, imagine where you are, where you will be in the next 10 years. So try to put up your plan in reaching that particular, to reach to that particular dream that you actually have.
Thank you so much, Prof. Bala, for giving your time, giving your insights, your very interesting insights, I would say. I had fun talking to him, and yes, I also had a lot of other fun and interesting conversations with the other experts throughout this whole STEM Hangat series too. So to all the local experts, you know, who gave your time, yang sudi bagi peluang kepada sekumpulan anak muda ni, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much, really. And yeah, this is the last episode of STEM Hangat, but please don't worry, we will be coming back with more interesting STEM projects and even more interesting youth projects in the future. But for now, sejujurnya saya tak sabar untuk rehat. Yeah, the team has worked really hard and kami tak sabar untuk rehat, relax jap sebelum kami kembali dengan projek-projek yang menarik. So thank you so much guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.